Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Amen. God, we just praise you and thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. Lord, we thank you for your encouragement that you're going to bring this morning from your word to us. God, I pray that you would just help me to present what needs to be presented in a way that's understandable. God, I pray that you just inspire me and fill me with your spirit right now. Holy Spirit, have your way. Speak this morning and help us all to hear what it is that you're saying, what it is that you're trying to get across to us. Lord, we want to be more like Jesus. And Lord, if we'll listen to you and we'll hear what you say, we know that that'll happen. So God, have your way this morning. Bless your word as it goes out. Bless your people now. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk about seeking and finding this morning. And I might have mentioned that just a little bit as we were in the worship time, just saying, you know what? Sometimes we don't find because we don't seek. But Psalm 34, which I just read, the whole psalm, I just want to read the two verses out of it near the beginning there. Psalm 34, verses 4 and verse 6. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. You know, so I guess I didn't realize how many times in the scriptures, I just looked up the word seek in the Bible, and in the Psalms alone, there's probably about 50, the word is used 50 times. Most of the time it has to do with seeking God, seeking his presence, seeking something from God, looking to him for your need. And the Bible is filled with words that talk about us seeking God, going after God, looking for him. You know, when we've got trouble, when we got something that we need, we go to seek him. You know, when you got something to thank him for, you go seek him and say, God, here I am. I'm here to just say thank you, God. Sometimes God just blesses us, and every once in a while I get a blessing. Something happens, and I just go, God, I don't even deserve this. Well, I think that's like with most gifts that God gives. We don't deserve them. We haven't earned them necessarily, but God chooses to bless his children. Amen. But I will tell you this. I think that there are probably a lot of blessings and a lot of things that God would like to provide for us, and all he's waiting for is one thing, for us to ask. You know, like Jesus said here, ask and it will be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened. It has to, you know, there's a part that we play in this whole thing. God has provision and God has blessing for us, but I think in his wisdom, sometimes he holds back and he waits for us to ask for it. And I think maybe there are times when the devil convinces us, you don't deserve it, you haven't earned it, you know, you haven't got anything coming. You know, don't be asking anything from God because he's not going to give it to you because you haven't worked hard enough or, you know, haven't done this or that. And yet, God wants to bless his children. So, I'm going to talk about that whole subject of asking and seeking this morning. So, help is available if we'll just ask. You know, if the Master, King, and Creator of the universe can't handle the problem, well, he can. He can. The problem is, in our mind, we're thinking, well, God can do some pretty big things, but this is too big for him. And I think the devil sometimes tries to convince us God's not going to help, God doesn't want to help, and yet we need to come to God and say, God, you can do all things. And I'm going to share some stories from the New Testament here, from the book of Matthew, but let me just read a couple things here first. Psalm 9, verses 9 and 10. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. You hear what that's saying? It says, you, Lord, you haven't forsaken those that have sought you, have come to you, have asked, look to you for the help that they need. Lord, you haven't forsaken them. Lord, you haven't forsaken us. Sometimes our eyes deceive us. Sometimes we see things in the natural and we don't see things the way that God sees them. In Psalm 34, which I just read before also, Psalm 34, verse 17, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. Something about these two passages that I just read, the Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed. Those who know your name will put their trust in you. That word sometimes used in the Bible where it talks about the name of God, it's really speaking more than just his name, whether, you know, we call him Jesus, we call him Father, we call him Abba Father, but name has a lot to do with who he is, his character, the things that he, the way that he is. I guess I'm not explaining that real well, but the name of God is a lot about what he's like. And those who know what God is like, those who know how God operates, those who know the way that God does things, you know, it says here that they'll put their trust in him. Lord, you've not forsaken those who seek you. But those of us who know our God, those of us who know what he's like, you know, a lot of times we say that, you know, here in the church, we say God is good. And a lot of times people will say all the time, well, how do you know? Because he's been good. Because the word of God tells us he's good. You know, God is good all the time. And we just know that. And the more that you get to know God, the more you realize he's not a God who is looking to destroy, to judge, to send someone to hell. I mean, there are things that God will do that he doesn't even want to do himself. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish. But we do know that some do perish. Some do end up going to an eternity without God. But it's not God's will. It's not his desire. It's not his purpose for people. But here it talks about those who know him will trust him. God, I know who you are. The last couple months, you know, we've kind of entered into a time of difficulty in the nation, in our city, even with our churches. This has been real awkward, even trying to meet together as a church, because they're just going, well, I don't know, can we or should we, or, you know, are we doing something illegal, you know, but God is with us. And I'll tell you what, we wouldn't be doing this if I didn't really feel strongly that God wants us to be here. Now, I believe that God wants more than just a couple of us here, but that's all going to come in time. But in the meantime, I know my God. I know who he is. I know what he's like. I've seen him cover for me. I've seen him protect me and bless me over time. And this is not going to be any different. God is shielding me. God is shielding us as a church. This church, by the way, is not going away. This church isn't going to disappear like some people may think. I've heard over the years people out on the street saying, oh, you guys are just a couple people and you're not going to be around much longer. Well, you know, I heard that 15 years ago. So what does that mean? Does that mean that I'm really smart? Or that you guys are just super duper Christians? No, it means that we have an awesome God. We know who he is. He's a protector and a helper. He's a refuge. He's a shield for us. I mean, that's why we trust him. We've seen him work. We've seen him do his stuff. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, let me move on here a little bit. The righteous cry out, the Lord delivers them out of all their troubles. Yes, he does. There were a bunch of people in the Bible, more than I could mention in any kind of sermon on a Sunday morning, but I'll just reference a couple of them. I was reading in the book of Matthew this week, and I was taken back by how many people were coming to God and the way that they came and the things that they were asking for. Here in Matthew 9, starting at verse 27, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." Let me just start out at the beginning of that. These two blind men went looking for Jesus. They sought him, like the Bible says here, seek the Lord. And they're crying out. It says they cry out. They weren't quiet about it. They weren't shy about it. They were crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on us. Son of David, have mercy on us." You know, we should be crying out for our needs too. There are needs that we've all got. There are things that may come up in the future. When those times come, we need to cry out to God. We need to cry out to him and say, "God, I need you. God, help me. Have mercy on me. God, help me or help this person that I know." Or, you know, when we seek God, he's ready and willing to answer, but he wants to hear us. He wants to hear us asking and seeking and knocking. All right? So these two men cried out for mercy. "Have mercy on us." And Jesus touched their eyes. And this is according to your faith. He said, "Do you believe I can do this?" They said, "Yes, Lord, we believe you can." Now, why do you suppose they believed that he could? Probably because they've seen it. Now, they're blind, but they've heard the story. They've heard other people say, "Jesus came to our city, he came to our town, and he cast out some demons, and he healed these blind people, and he raised this dead boy back to his mother. You know, he did all of these things." And so these two blind guys are coming to Jesus saying, "He can do all of that stuff, he can do this for us too." And they came and they believed him, and they told him that. It's funny that Jesus would ask them, "Do you think I can do this? Do you believe I can?" And Jesus sometimes will ask us those questions. "Do you think I can handle this? Do you think I can do that?" "Yes, Lord, I know you can." And look, the answer came. "According to your faith, let it be done to you." Let it be to you. My child has just died. Now that is a pretty amazing and pretty difficult spot. Matthew 9, verse 18. "And while he spoke these things, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, 'My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live.'" Now, this man is expressing faith. He's coming to Jesus. By the way, this is something that I just, as I'm looking at these verses, even this morning before church, I'm looking at how many times was someone coming to Jesus, and the first words were, "They came and worshipped him." They came and worshipped, and that's what this ruler did. This is a ruler of the synagogue, one of the religious leaders in Jesus' time, who, you know, maybe if his daughter was just fine and everything was okay at his house, maybe he would have been among those who were opposing Jesus and calling him a blasphemer, you know, and saying that he's got a demon and all of that stuff. But all of a sudden, he's in a really tough spot. He has just lost his daughter. As the story goes on later on, it says that she was 12 years old. He just lost a 12-year-old daughter, and he comes to Jesus. He's thinking, if there's help anywhere, it's going to be from this man who's doing all of these miracles, this Jesus. So he comes, and he worships him. He worships Jesus. And he's saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her that she will live," and she will live. And the story goes on, and Jesus went with him. And Jesus went into the house, and he put everyone outside of the room except the mother and father, and I think Peter and John maybe were there, but a couple of disciples. And he speaks to that little girl, and he says, "Arise." And that little girl came back to life. You know what? What would have happened in this story? Think about this story of the ruler who says, "My daughter has died. There's no hope. It's over. I don't have anywhere I can go for help." And he doesn't go to Jesus, and he doesn't ask. What's the end of that story? The end of that story is tragedy. But the end of it, because he sought God, because he went after God, it turned out completely different. There are two passages in Matthew here having to do with children of people who had demon problems. Let me just read Matthew 15, 22 to 28. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him. Look at that. She came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, true, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Jesus had some things to say to her, and she was persistent. Jesus was saying, you know, I can't really help you. I didn't come here for those outside of Israel. I only came for the Jews. I came for those special people. And we know that Jesus came for all, but in that day, as he walked the earth and in his 3 years of ministry, it was primarily to Israel. But this woman wouldn't take no for an answer. She sought Jesus. She sought the help that she needed from him. She knew that he could do this, and she didn't give up. She said, well, Lord, and she's humbling herself. She's saying, well, Lord, even just a few crumbs from the master's table, you know, it'll be enough. And Jesus commends her for her faith, and it says that her daughter was healed from that very hour. That woman believed God for a miracle for her daughter. And she wasn't going to take no for an answer. She wasn't going to say, well, all right, Jesus, if you say what's not for me, okay, I'll go somewhere else or I'll just give up. She didn't give up. She was persistent. She sought God, and God answered. Matthew 17, verses 14 to 18. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. By the way, here he comes, kneeling down to him and saying, another one of those things, he's kneeling down, he's bowing down before Jesus. He's offering his worship. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. And so I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and he came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. You know, it's interesting. The father here doesn't say anything about my son has a demon. He's epileptic, and he falls into the fire, and he falls into the water. And yet, I think probably more often than not, there are people who have problems and difficulties that are inspired and related to demons. I remember hearing a religious leader some years ago making a statement about demons, and he said, well, we don't really have a lot of demon problems in America. You know, demons are more of an issue for, like, in some of the primitive areas of the world, like in Africa or in the jungles of South America. But in America, we don't really have a lot of demon issues. And I thought to myself, are you kidding me? Have you looked around? And now, mind you, this was probably 20, 25 years ago. I still remember it, though, because it was so obviously wrong. And I thought, Well, you know, the first place you should be looking for demons is in your own brain. They're teaching you that there's no demons around here. The demonic world is real. The satanic world is real. There are really demons, and there are really oppressors, and there are really demons that oppress people. And the deliverance of those people, the freedom that people need, comes from Jesus. But it needs to be sought. And that's what this man did. He came to Jesus and said, "Heal my son. Here's the problem. Here's what's going on. I even took him to your disciples, Jesus, but they couldn't do anything with him." And Jesus, it says, he rebuked the demon and he came out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. You know, one of the things that, and maybe this is for another day, another message, but we as believers have been given authority by God. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you're one of his, you have authority. Now, whether you use it or not, that's another story. But there are going to be times, I think, that you're going to be called on, that I know that I've been called on sometimes, to actually rebuke a demon and to say, "Come out in Jesus' name." You know, I don't think that we really take seriously some of that, the demonic oppression that's out there. There's a lot of stuff that's going on. And I think sometimes the servants of God, the children of God, those that are filled with the Spirit of God, need to stand up and say, "In Jesus' name, get thee behind me. In Jesus' name, come out." Amen? I think we would probably see greater results from some of the things that we do in our living and in our walking. Another example here. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 to 7. Now Jesus had entered Capernaum. A centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed and dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." Now, the centurion came to Jesus. He's coming on behalf of his servant. He's saying, you know, he's tormented. He's in real trouble. He's in real pain. Whatever the problem, it doesn't describe the problem exactly here. But Jesus said, "I'll come and heal him." That man asked, and Jesus responded, "I'll come. I'll take care of it." In fact, the man at that point said, "You know, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof." That man humbled himself before Jesus. He said, "Jesus, I can't have you coming under my roof. It's not right. You're God. You're the miracle worker. You're the awesome one who's been walking around doing all these miracles. I'm not worthy of you to come and help me. But Lord, if you would just do one little thing, just say the word. Just say the word and my son will be healed." My servant will be healed. And Jesus again commended that man's faith. He said, "You know, you've got great faith." Because that man was talking about, you know, "I got people under me. I got people that I direct, and I tell this one to go this way and he does, and I tell this one to go that way and he does." And so he's saying to Jesus, "Jesus, just the same way that I've got authority in earthly things, you have authority in spiritual things and in heavenly things. So Jesus, all you got to do is just say a word and my servant will be healed." And actually that's what happened. Jesus did speak a word, and that servant was healed, it says, from that very hour. So, who can I call? Jesus. You got a problem? Who do you call? Jesus. Amen. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Psalm 55:22. Says, you know, cast your burden on the Lord. Cast your burden. Take the burden that you're carrying and give it to God. Hallelujah. Cast your burden on the Lord. And who will sustain you? He will sustain you. He will sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. That to me is reassuring to know that he will not allow us to be moved if we just cast our burden on him, if we'll just give it to him, if we will give him the part that we can't handle and the part that we can't carry. You know, Jesus talks about a yoke. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I've always pictured that yoke as being something very, very heavy. And Jesus is carrying about 95% of it, but he's asking us to just take our 5% and carry our part. And I think a lot of these things having to do with seeking, it is we do the seeking. And now maybe that's the smaller part of the miracle that's needed. But we seek and we go and we ask and we say, Jesus, I need your help. Jesus, I'm crying out to you in desperation. And when we do that, he answers and he comes. He comes through in a big way. He comes through in miraculous ways. He comes through in ways that we couldn't have done it by ourselves. Amen. John 12, verses 20 and 21. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. And they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. I've always been impressed with that. These men came. They came up to the feast, and they're asking some of Jesus' disciples, his followers, Sir, we want to see Jesus. Let that be our heart cry. I want to see Jesus. Lord, I want to know you. I want to see you. I want to hear from you. I want to come and meet with you. God, I've got a need. I want to see you, God. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. And so, whatever the need is, he's got an answer for it. In Matthew chapter 20, starting in verse 30, and behold, two blind men sitting on the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet, but they cried out all the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Now, again, this is another picture of the kind of seeking the Bible's talking about. It's not saying, Jesus, I could use your help over here. They were crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. They were crying out to him. They were calling out to him. It's okay to get loud. It's okay to get deliberate about your request. Now, I will agree that a volume is not always where it's at. But listen, God is looking for a heart that's crying out. And let our hearts cry out just like these guys did. They were crying out, and everybody's telling them, be quiet. You're disturbing this event that's going on here. You're disturbing this gathering as Jesus is walking by. And so Jesus stood still and called them and said, What do you want me to do for you? Now, again, it's another one of those interesting questions. Jesus had some interesting questions in the Bible. These two blind men are crying out, Have mercy on us. Why would Jesus even ask, What do you want me to do for you? I think he wanted to hear it from their own lips. And I think that that's what God wants from us. For us to say, Well, Lord, I have all sorts of needs. Just bless me. And I think sometimes God says, Okay, what would you like? Name a blessing. Want a better car? You want a different job? You want something that you need. You got a problem with your health? Name it. What's your need? And so Jesus says, What do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. They asked specifically. They told him exactly what they needed. At first, the cry to Jesus was, Have mercy on us. But now, Jesus says, What is it that you want me to, what kind of mercy do you want me to show you? Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Hallelujah. I read this verse before, but I'm going to read it again. Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me out of all my fears. I sought the Lord. I went looking. I asked. I looked for. I sought the Lord. And what happened? He heard me. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. And then what happened after he heard me? He delivered me from all my fears. He delivered me from the problem that I had. I sought the Lord with a problem. He heard me, and he delivered me from the problem. Thank you, Jesus. And skipping down to verse 6, this poor man cried out. He cried out. He sought God. He looked for God. He asked. And it says, and the Lord heard him. Again, sought God, God heard, and then it says, and saved him out of all of his troubles. Important, really important. Cry out, and then believe that God hears you. And if you believe that God hears you, it's pretty easy to take one more step of faith to say, not only has he heard me, he's bringing me the answer. He's bringing me the solution to the problem that I'm facing. Salvation and eternal life is available. Just ask. So many of us have come to that place of knowing that we were lost, knowing that we were sinners, knowing that we were destined for hell, knowing that something's got to change, something's got to be different. Amen. And we sought God, and he heard us, and he answered. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. And now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Again, Jesus here is saying, show something, take some action. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again, one of those things, this passage isn't showing this here, but it says, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord, calls on the name of the Lord for what reason? God, save me. God, save my life. God, I don't want to go to hell when I die. I want to be one of yours. I want to follow Jesus. I want to know you. Come and make me a new person. Change me, Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Acts 4:12 is what I'm going to be closing with. Nor is there any salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There are a lot of places that you can call, that you can ask for help from. And the help is minimal. It's whatever people can do, whatever agencies can do, whatever men can do. But listen, when it comes to the real needs of life, the needs of a changed life, the needs of a better life, the needs for healing and for deliverance, the need for salvation, the need for heaven, and being right with God, there's only one way to go. Only one name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And that name is the name of Jesus. When people cry out to God, they should be crying out to Jesus. Jesus, save me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, touch me. Amen. Hallelujah. We all have needs, but God's got the answer to all of them. Amen. Let's just stand up this morning. I'd like to just close in a prayer here, a word of prayer. God, we come to you. You're the helper. You're the refuge. You're the deliverer. God, you're the one who we can come to, we can call on, and we're saved and we're strengthened and we're helped, God. Lord, I pray that you would bless us today with the needs that we have. Lord, I pray that you bless us with answers to those needs, that you'd help us, Lord, to be diligent about asking when we see a need, rather than keep it to ourselves, Lord, that we would come right to you, that we would cry out to you, that we would ask for your mercy, that we would ask for your healing touch. God, Lord, help us not to hold back, but to come to you. Lord God, I pray that you just bless everyone here this morning. I pray, Lord, that you bless those that are listening this morning, that you would bless them with an answer to their need. And Lord, help us to cry out to you. Help us to cry out to you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we just pray your blessing now. In Jesus' name, amen.